Who killed Jesus anyway? Everybody. I killed Jesus. In a sense, he died for my sins. You killed Jesus. He died for your sins. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have gotten on that cross and died for your sins, had you been the only one. So he died for all of us. So let's not just blame the Jews or any particular person. We all are sinners. The Bible declares that. All have sinned and fallen to come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, he says in Isaiah. You shall love the Lord with all your heart. You shall love the Lord with all your soul. You shall love the Lord with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Last 2,000 years, Christians have faced governmental persecution more often than not. Even today, around the world, those who take a public stand for Jesus Christ must be ready to pay for it with the loss of their job, imprisonment, and even death. Now, it's true that we don't see this kind of persecution because of the country that we live in, which endows us with freedom of religion, which is still protected by civil law. But if you share your faith in Christ openly and invite people to receive Christ, you will most likely experience a resistance and opposition from others. And today, from Faith to Faith, Pastor Henry will offer us some insights in Acts chapter 4 on how to be bold for the Lord, as Peter and John were towards the Sanhedrin. With today's broadcast from Faith to Faith, here's Pastor Henry.
So beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And so the Sadducees get together now and say, okay, what are we going to do now? Let's get a strategy here. What are we going to do? For that indeed a notable miracle, an outstanding miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Here's the third mistake. They said, this miracle has been done by them. Who did the miracle? Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't do the miracle. It was a word of knowledge from the Lord to Peter. The Bible doesn't say that, but when Peter goes in, suddenly he has this thing from God that God's going to heal this man. They're walking by, this man asks for alms, and Peter looks, and it's a flash. But in that flash, Peter realizes God's going to do it right now. That is an inspiration from God. That's a word of knowledge. God's going to do it. So Peter says, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give to you, and grabs him by the hand. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So God gave Peter the word of knowledge, gave Peter the faith. The man was healed. Boom. That's powerful. But it was all from the Lord. It wasn't from Peter. So that's the third mistake that they made, that they had done the miracle. No, the Lord did the miracle. And he said that, so this miracle is known to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. Here is the evidence right in front of us. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. So here's our strategy. Let's shut this thing down before it spins out of control. You know, that's the Sadducees. Okay, we got to put a lid on this thing. So that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. So let's threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So we're going to tell these guys, boy, you speak in this man's name anymore, and you're in trouble. You know, we're going to put you in prison. Whatever we need to do to shut you up, that's what we're going to do. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, this is their fourth mistake. They thought threats would shut these guys up. What did Peter say? Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, so to do what you say more than God. Who ought we obey? Who ought we to obey? You or God? What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're obeying God, and we're going to obey God, and we could care less what you guys have to say. Beat us, torture us, punish us, kill us. We're going to preach and teach Jesus Christ. So that's what he's saying. So they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I like that. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got to teach. I've got to preach Jesus Christ. Does the love of Christ constrain you? What's constrained? Moves you forward, makes you do it. You know, is the power behind it is moving you forward to do what you know in your heart you need to do. The love of Christ constrains me. And so here now, they're saying, we've got to do this. We cannot. We can't do otherwise. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So the most powerful thing the Pharisees could do, the Sadducees rather, was threaten them. But they looked at the crowd and they thought, man, there's nothing else we can do right now. So they let them go. They let them go. And the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So the guy was 40, over 40, healed instantly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Never walked before. And here he is walking. There is a time to disobey the law. There's a time to disobey the rulers. But that time should be rare, by the way. This is a rare time in history. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13 that we are to obey the rulers. We're to obey the government. We're to pay our taxes. We're to be in submission to government. And he tells us that again in 2 Peter. And we have that in several places in the scriptures, that we are to obey government. And to be good citizens, we're supposed to do that. And I tell you, do that. Do that. There is a time that we have a duty to disobey. And as I said, these times are rare, but they may be coming to us in the future, as I mentioned earlier. And the time to disobey is when they say to you, you cannot teach or preach in the name of this man, Jesus Christ. You cannot give these people Bibles. You cannot pray. You cannot do this. You can the things that make up Christianity, then is the time that I rebel. Now, I'm not going to go put my neck on a chopping block on purpose. I don't think God has called us to do some stupid things. But when the time comes to stand up, you will know it. You will know it, and the Lord will give you the strength to do what you need to do. I disobeyed the law a few years ago. I went to China in 1985, and the law in China was that you were not allowed to bring Bibles into China. They had an official Bible called the Three Self Church had printed a Bible. And that was the only Bible that they allowed in China. And I took some Bibles into China. And I went with an organization, and the philosophy of this organization was that we believe that no man has a right to deny the gospel of Jesus Christ to another man. No nation has a right to deny the Bible to their people. And I believe that today. And so I took Bibles into China. I broke the law, guilty. And I'd do it again tomorrow if I had a trip to China. Because no man has the right to tell another man they cannot hear the words of Jesus Christ. Muslim nations today are causing millions of people to go to hell because they forbid the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are condemning their own people. No man has the right to deny another man the right to hear the truth. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. So I had some friends at that time that criticized me for doing that. We have to stand up for Jesus Christ. We have to be persuaded that we, when the time comes, we're going to do what God's called us to do. And I felt in my heart that at that moment in my life, I was called to do that. To take those Bibles. And there may come a day, as I said, that we may have to take a stand again. I'm not paranoid. I don't think there's some master plot right now, as far as our government is concerned, to squelch the church. I think what we're having, the erosion of our liberties, is coming from Satan. Satan wants to gradually erode all of our liberties until finally we can't preach the gospel. And I don't see it as a big master plot by some man somewhere or some organization. I think it's the devil himself. And that's what's encroaching upon our liberties, and ungodly people have done that over the years. People like Madeline Murray O'Hare and people like that have been the tools of the devil, but this is not a plot of man. I don't think it's a plot of Satan, and yet men who are the tools of Satan will do this, just as the Sadducees here were the tools of the devil when they were persecuting the church. Persecution comes from satanic source. So know where the battle is. You know, don't get mad at the people that, you know, don't get mad at the government officials. Pray for them. You know, whenever these things happen, pray for them. Pray for those, Paul said, pray for those that are rulers over you. But on the other hand, settle it in your mind where the line is in the sand that is drawn, where you know you must speak, and you will speak in a particular situation. But be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what the scriptures tell us. So he goes on to say, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so, as I said earlier, they had threatened them, but they let them go. And he says, all men glorified God for that which was done. So they praise God. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported to the chief priests and elders, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Wow, wouldn't you like to have been there? I was born at the wrong time. No. I'm not serious. I think this is this is the most exciting time right now to be alive. Oh, we're approaching the end so rapidly, people. It's coming on us. It's coming on us, and there's going to be such an opportunity to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, to stand up for him and to be counted. Oh. But here, they were let go, it says. They went to their own company. So they went back to the believers, to the church. And what's the church? The church is a group of believers gathered together. They went back to the believers and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. So they told what they had just been through, the difficulty. And when they heard that, when the believers there heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So here they are, they're praising God. I mean, they're having a prayer meeting and praising God over this thing. And if you notice their prayer, and I got to say this right up front, they didn't pray, Lord, you rebuke those men, Lord, and stop this persecution. They didn't do that, did they? They prayed for more boldness to speak the word of God. And they didn't pray against those people. They prayed for boldness. They said, Lord, we're being persecuted, but that's okay. We're going to go for it. Just make us bold, Lord. Make us bold. So let's go through it, what they said. So they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You're God. And you've made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. So speaking of the greatness of God, God likes to hear his word quoted back to him, by the way. Do you know that? When you pray, use scripture if you possibly can. He likes to hear what he's already said come back. Oh, that's a great way to pray. You know, and the Lord's Prayer is a good prayer, but shouldn't be your only prayer. Pray from other prayers in the scripture. But here now, you've made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And now he goes on to say, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said this. And in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And that's what's going on right now. The heathen are raging and they're imagining vain things against the disciples. You know, they want to put them to death if they could. And so why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, the Messiah. And so, and this is what's happening to them right now. The rulers are gathered against them, stood up against them, resisting them. So this was prophesied in scriptures. So another thing that's going on here, they're quoting scriptures that are being fulfilled right at this moment as they're going through these things. And so the kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. So Jesus, who is the anointed one, the Messiah, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were all gathered together. So these were the people that had him crucified. Now notice it wasn't just the Jews. Herod was a part of it. Pontius Pilate was a part of it. The Gentiles were a part of it. And the Jews, the people of Israel. So who killed Jesus anyway? Or everybody? Everybody. I killed Jesus, in a sense. He died for my sins. You killed Jesus. He died for your sins. If you were the only person in the world, Jesus would have gotten on that cross and died for your sins. Had you been the only one. So he died for all of us. So let's not just blame the Jews or any particular person. We all are sinners. The Bible declares that all have sinned and fallen, come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, and God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, he says in Isaiah. So he died for all of us, and we're all responsible for his death. We're all responsible for his death. So after he gives this list of people, he says, they were gathered together against him for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now here's the interesting thing. Said, they did all these things, but Lord, it was your foreordained plan. You know, which is kind of the beauty of it to me is, you know, Some people kind of have the idea that, God sent his son Jesus into the world to do all these great and wonderful things, and then the devil got the best of him and killed him, and then God made the best of a bad situation by raising him from the dead. I mean, that's kind of the way you sometimes hear it, and I think, uh-uh. God said this was for his foreordained plan from the foundation of the world, that his son would come into the world to die for the sins of the world. This was God's plan. He just used these evil men to bring it about and let them put his son to death because of their rebellion against him. Sometimes God even uses evil men to accomplish his purposes. Isn't that fascinating? He used Nebuchadnezzar to take the Jews into captivity. When they had sinned against him, God said, I've had enough of your sin. You're going into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, boom, they go into captivity. And so God can do that. He can do whatever he wants to do. And so he said here, to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. This was God's will for Jesus to die for the sins of the world. And now, Lord, and now they get down to, this prayer here we can use as a model prayer. First, they acknowledge God's greatness, and we do that in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy, Lord. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. He's talking about his will here on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is kind of similar to this. And then they quote scripture. And as I said, we need to know the scriptures and quote those in our prayers. And then they get down to their request. And that's what we call our supplications in our prayers. One of the reasons that we're praying is for the supplication. And so he says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak their word. Now, I said earlier, they didn't pray for release from the persecution or for God to get rid of those guys or anything like that. They said, Lord, make us more bold. Wow. It's hard to stop men like this. Lord, if they kill us, we're ready to just keep going. Make us more bold, that with all boldness we may speak your word. And then they said they recognized how God was working here through healings and through miracles, that by stretching forth your hand to heal, and then that by signs and wonders may be done in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. The signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. So what happened now? We don't know whether it's an earthquake or what it was, but it would just be like this room just starting to shake. God manifesting his presence. When they prayed, it was shaken where they were assembled together. And then they were all filled. So again, a fresh anointing. Remember, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when he spoke. Here's a fresh anointing for them again. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know what? They prayed two scriptures ago for boldness, and God gave them the boldness. I would say that God answers prayer, wouldn't you? Matter of fact, two verses later, he answered the prayer here. Now, I've prayed for some things that I've had to wait for a while, but I've also prayed for things where I got an instant answer, and God gave them an instant answer here. That place was shaken together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, oh, this early church. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So this early church, now, they shared everything. Some Bible teachers teach that this was a mistake, because it was kind of didn't work out very well. I don't teach that it was a mistake. I think as we look at this, so we can learn something from it. When they shared everything, what happened later on in the churches, they actually became impoverished. I think these people thought that Jesus was coming back immediately. And so they shared everything, that they had. They had lands. We'll get this in a minute. They went and sold everything, and they shared it all in common. And that might work in some ideal situations, but unfortunately, we're dealing with sinful people. And if we got together and said, we're going to pool everything, we'd have one group of people that's willing to work hard, and we'd have another group of people that would say, this is my opportunity to loaf and not work anymore. So later scriptures give us some very specific instances of guidelines about this kind of thing. And I'm not suggesting we do this at all. But Paul did say that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So, hunger is a great motivation to get on the ball and to work. And also, they talked about the widows. They did provide for the widows in those days, women that were destitute and had nothing. And they were over 60 years old, and he did say that they were to be helped by the church if they didn't have any family that could help them. If they were destitute and there was no relatives that could help them, then the church would help them. But they were to be called apart to prayer. They were to live lives of prayer and service unto the Lord and being in the scriptures and all. So there is a time for us sharing. And as a church, we do help those that need help, and we help the poor. but we will not ever ask you to pool your resources here and to go sell everything that you have and give it to us and let us distribute it. That's not on our agenda. You give as the Lord calls you to give. And let every man be persuaded in his own mind, is what the scriptures say. But we are a generous church. You know, our church, we've got some people here that give a lot and give a lot to help others. But let's get back to the story here. In this early church, it says there was great unity. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. That word there, common, is koinonia. They shared everything. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so there was great power upon this early church, and there was great grace upon them all, it says. And it goes on to say, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But they did. They laid everything down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Notice it says according as he had need. It doesn't say his wants. They didn't take care of all their wants. They didn't have satellite TV, you know, and stuff like that. But they were fed and clothed and housed. And so Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation. So now, we often talk of Barnabas. Barnabas, we'll see later in the book of Acts, he'll go on the first missionary journey with the apostle Paul, son of consolation, a great guy. That's his last name. His first name is Joseph Barnabas, just like Peter. We talk about Peter. His name is Simon Peter. That's his last name. So anyway, Barnabas is his last name. But anyway, that's what we call him. And so he was called by the apostles Barnabas, the son of consolation. He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. And so he'd come from Cyprus. The Jews, remember, were scattered all over the known world at that time. And his family had ended up in Cyprus. And so he'd come back. He was in Jerusalem, got saved, was a part of the early church now. And he turned out to be a great man of God, Barnabas, the companion of the apostle Paul. So having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so here we have our introduction to this wonderful man, Barnabas. And so the early church here, powerful, powerful church. We have a miracle being done. We have persecution, and we have the church growing stronger, don't we? The church growing stronger. This is a persecuted, powerful, spirit-filled, bold, praying church. And I want to tell you something. The church does not grow stronger through having it soft. Persecution makes the church grow stronger. Do you know that? That's what makes the church grow stronger. I'm not inviting it, by the way. Please don't think I'm saying, come beat us up. You know, no, but when that persecution is like this here, where the enemies of the gospel are resisting the work of God, church grows stronger. Satan tried to destroy the early church by persecution. And what happened, it didn't work. And the church got stronger and bigger. And that's the history of the early church. And so what did Satan do? When he saw that didn't work, he joined the church. Constantine made the church, Christianity, the official religion of the Roman Empire. And what happened? Church got married to the world, to the government, and it was put on the shelf, and it was made weak. It wasn't made stronger by the government being in favor of it. So persecution, don't be afraid of it. Don't seek it, but be ready. The main thing is not the persecution. The main thing, though, is your love for Jesus Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
You know, as we share the good news generously and lovingly, we should expect some opposition to come our way. But if we respond in the way that the early church did, we can experience God's power in great ways that can free us from the fear of people and give us a deeper security of God's faithfulness in our lives. As Pastor Henry has been sharing with us today in Acts chapter 4.
If this is your first time tuning in, first of all, we want to thank you for taking the time to hear the program today. And if you're interested in knowing more about the radio ministry, simply reach us by phone at 229-228-5604. Again, that's 229-228-5604. You can also write to us from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. Again, that address is from Faith to Faith, 100 Commerce Park Drive, Thomasville, Georgia, 31757. You're also welcome to go to our website for more information at ccthomasville.com. That's ccthomasville.com. And again, our phone number is 229-228-5604. 5604. And then please make it a point to join with Pastor Henry Ganey for our next program, From Faith to Faith. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Thomasville in Georgia.
With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my heart.